intellects, vast, cool, and unsympathetic, regarded this earth with envious eyes and slowly and surely drew their plans against us.
Hello, everybody. We're back after a break that I'm not entirely sure how long it was. Was it 2 weeks or 3 weeks, Tim?
Yeah, yes, Peter, yes. It was.
Good. Okay, glad we've got that cleared up. I feel like I've played a lot of games, so it must have been a while. That's mainly why I haven't been doing a podcast, to be quite honest. But now we are doing this one here now.
You've been too busy playing games to talk about games.
I know, yes. It's shameful and shocking and appalling. Episode 86, by the way, for anyone keeping track of that. It's going to be in the name of it, so that'll be a giveaway. But there you go.
So what's the album for this one, then?
A lot of stuff came out in 86 that I pertains to my interests, and also just good albums in general that, even though I don't particularly listen to them, are obviously important and good.
Yes, like Slippery When Wet from Bon Jovi.
Yes, like that one. Well, Queen Is Dead by the Smiths came out. That's a really good album. Back when Morrissey played shows, when he wasn't too cold to play shows, as happened last week, I think. The show in California where he was due to come on stage, and then he said, "No, I'm a bit cold, so I'm not gonna." And everyone had to go home. Great, good stuff from Morrissey.
Thanks,
there.
Morrissey.
You must have been delighted if you went to that show. I mean, I do understand that temperature can mess with your voice and stuff, and can affect the voice. And as a singer, he has to keep his voice healthy and all of that. But, you know, maybe you could have looked at the weather forecast to go, it's going to be really cold tonight, so I can't
I'll wear a scarf.
Or that, or I don't know, sell some heaters. Yeah. Surely there must be alternative options available. what else is there? Ben Sinister by The Fall. That's a pretty good album by The Fall. Most of their albums are good. But I'm going to go, in honor of the fact that I saw them live very recently, I'm going to go for Black Celebration, Depeche Mode.
Okay.
The start of a very good string of albums from that band. Also very good live still, I can confirm. See them today. If you're in Europe where they're now touring, having left America.
Whenever you're listening to this, they're probably somewhere.
Possibly. They tend to go on about a 4-year schedule now. They wait 4 years, release an album, go on a massive tour that lasts about a year and a half. Then go into hibernation again for about 2 years and start again.
What else was there?
Anyway.
There was a Nick Cave album.
Kicking Against the Pricks.
Yeah.
Which is a great title. I cannot remember whether I like that one that much or not.
I can't remember the album. I think my own choices... on the one hand, there is Megadeth's Peace Sells But Who's Buying, which is a really good album, and I'm not a particularly big Megadeth fan, but that's a good album. But I would probably have to go with License to Ill by the Beastie Boys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a Run DMC album in the mix in this year as well, I believe. Which
Raising Hell.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you most of the stuff of that, but I know the main tracks from it.
Yes. So this would also be the Beastie Boys album that you are probably familiar with as well.
Yeah.
In case you can't recall. Yeah.
All right. Depeche Mode and the Beastie Boys united at last in our album recommendations.
Similar. No sleep till Brooklyn, and Depeche Mode are probably going to be touring there at some point. So,
yeah, already have. All right, on to games.
Games are what we are ostensibly here to discuss.
Games. It's my bread and butter. It's the fruits of my labor, or something. I don't know. What should we start with? Let's start with something that we both played. Let's talk.
That's quite ancient... a lot of most of what we've got to discuss.
Yeah,
actually.
But let's start in ancient Egypt.
Let's go from the past forwards, shall we?
Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Assassin's Creegypt, as it is now known on this podcast. Yes.
Or Assassin's Crygypt, as I occasionally call it, what it's taken from Far Cry.
I haven't finished this. I am 10 or 12 hours in or something like that.
How many of the big murders have you done from your list of big murders?
Well, I'm on the second tier of big murders now, having just had a chat with Cleopatra coming at you.
I think
Cleopatra's English, which is interesting.
She is. I think I'm also on the second tier of big murders, and I think I've done one or two of them. I can't really remember.
Okay,
it's been a while since I played it.
I'm working on the first one, so you're a bit ahead of me, but we're in a similar area.
We're around the same point, yes.
Yeah. I'm quite enjoying it, to be honest. More than I thought I would.
The break was a good thing for Assassin's Creed, because this is an Assassin's Creed game, but it also isn't. It's actually quite different in a lot of respects.
Yeah. And the different things are good, mostly. I'm even okay with their weird loot system, which normally I find a bit tiresome, but it's kind of okay because they've got different weapons that are semi-meaningfully different.
Yeah.
Which is good and fine.
And it doesn't quite delude you in the masses of stuff either.
No.
It's a bit more limited than
Yeah. Sort of important locations have specific I almost said loot boxes, but that has some whole of the connotations. It has chests for you to open that specifically have are usually weapons or high caliber materials or something.
Yes.
And each location has a couple of those. And if you've killed a big baddie boss commander man, he normally has a weapon or something like that. So
yeah,
you get a steady stream, but it's not like every 10 steps you're
it's not a case of you kill a guy and he drops two things and then you break open this vase and a sword falls out and then you open up this chest and there is a fountain of loot. It's not Diablo.
It's not, no. And that's fine. That's good. What else? The progression is sort of interesting as well, because they've I guess they just have kind of gated the areas by level. You can go around the whole map, but if you go to the area that has level 35 to 40 people in it, then you'll be in trouble. So probably don't do that.
That is a thing that I like and don't like. On the one hand, I like this. On the other hand, I kind of wish that, hidden blade kills actually killed people and didn't just do health damage.
Yeah.
That would mean that if I was clever and sneaky, I could survive for a little while in one of these places. Whereas I can't, because right now my hidden dagger will knock off like a tenth of their health when I jump onto them from the ceiling.
Yeah, you can certainly get away with being in a slightly higher level area by using the fact that you know how to fight and the AI doesn't really to your advantage. But if it's too far out of your league, then you're just gonna die.
Yeah.
How much have you upgraded your hidden blade? Because I mean, if you upgrade it
a few times
to the max, it presumably gets quite good. But yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, but then again, if you upgrade it to the max, then you're probably very high level.
Because even if you've only focused on getting the materials to do that, you've probably done quite a lot of things. So
I just like my predator bow with its homing missiles or its remote control arrows.
The bows are interesting. They're
great.
They're just kind of, I mean, the the main tier of them, they act pretty much like bows. But then the specialty bows are just like, oh, do you want a sniper rifle? How about a shotgun? All right.
Yeah, there's a bow that fires like three arrows at once, and yeah. there's a rapid fire bow, and then there is the bow that when you learn the skill for it, if you like hold down the fire button after firing, you get to control the arrow mid flight.
Yep.
Limited control over the arrow, I will say. I have tried doing very silly things with that, and it doesn't work.
I like to think that what's happening with that is you're getting your bird companion to just kind of carry it and then throw it at someone.
Your bird companion is flapping its wings to adjust the air currents around the arrow.
Yeah. Your bird companion, who is basically a drone, but better than that because it's a bird. So that's fine. Although I am a bit annoyed.
Now I am mildly hoping that there will be a bit in the modern day where you actually do this, except that instead of the bow, you've got the standard guns, and instead of a bird, you do have a drone.
Almost certainly that will happen if they get that. I haven't done much modern day stuff, have you? I've done like two bits, and they lasted about 2 minutes each.
I mean, I they lasted a bit longer for me because I sort of read through all the emails and stuff like that.
There's loads of that.
There was a link to Watch Dogs again.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah, one of the emails is to do with an Abstergo employee being murdered or something. I think he was referenced in Black Flag. It was one of the characters from that who goes off on a trip to Detroit or something. And he is one of the side mission targets in the first Watch Dogs game. And there is a picture of Aiden Pierce shooting him in the face in this email.
That sounds like Aiden Pierce. Sounds like Aiden Pierce I know.
Aiden Pierce is a dick. But yeah, so whether this is, I don't really care, but whether this is like a nod to their other properties or whether this is Ubisoft saying, yes, these actually are in the same universe.
They
always like hint at the other games in. But yeah, Watch Dogs 2 has a mission in which you hack into Ubisoft to steal a trailer for the new Assassin's Creed.
Are they all going to merge? Is it going to be, you know, Ghost Recon is going to be in the same universe? Far Cry is going to be in the same universe?
Tom Clancy's Ghost Creed
Rayman.
Far Dogs.
Rayman, it turns out, is also going to be the same universe somehow.
It would be if Assassin's Creed and Watch Dogs merged together into a game, that would be excellent, because then we can shorten the title of that to Ass Dogs, or possibly Dogs Ass. Or Watch Ass, if you prefer.
I now want that to happen. Good.
Yeah, that would be a good crossover.
Yeah.
Solely for our naming conventions.
Yep. So this game is also... whenever I look at the quest screen, it reminds me of The Witcher 3, because they've all got the sort of, you should be level 17 to do this quest, or you should be level 20 to do this one, which is all right. If you're going to steal from an RPG open world game, The Witcher 3 is a good one to borrow things from.
Well, maybe not its interface.
Yeah, you might be right. Luckily, there isn't really an inventory in this one.
There also aren't 7,000 quests.
No, there's quite a few. There's quite a lot of side quests.
Most of them are, you know, you're not going to go around and pick up dozens of them and have a massive quest log. You've kind of got three or four main quests at any given time, and then you'll probably have a few side quests for the region you're in, if you like.
I've got this long-term one about, can you go and find some circles of stones because your kid liked them. I think that's just an ongoing...
thing. I will say, actually, I quite like Bayek as a character.
Yes, I do.
He's likable.
He's good. But he's different as well. They're not just trying to do Ezio again, which is good. But nor is he a charisma vacuum, which is also good.
Yeah. I liked him more when he had the beard, though. I liked the bearded look.
In the upcoming patch, Tim, you will be able to toggle that beard back, I believe. That's what it seemed to imply. Because you can, There is a way of toggling it back in the inventory screen, but it's like a debug thing that they left in by accident or something.
Right.
So you're not really supposed to do that. But I think they're going to make it permanent by popular demand. So you may, yeah, don't worry.
I like bearded Bayek. I like that you can toggle the hood as well, though. I kind of miss things like the hood being when you go into a sneaky area. It's like, yeah, I want my hood on when I'm off to do a bad murder. But I don't want my hood on in the cutscene that follows when I'm outside of the bad murder area. And yeah.
When I'm petting cats by pyramids, I want to leave my hood down.
Yeah, exactly. There are lots of cats in this game. It's great.
There are. Yeah, yeah. And you can pet them, but you don't. It's not just a button prompt, though. You actually have to kind of coax them towards you and then kneel down near them and then hope for the best. you get a cat petting animation.
And they may follow you around for a bit as well, or they may ignore you completely because they're fucking cats.
Yep. I believe you can pet your bird as well somehow, but I haven't actually done this.
If you just stand still for a while, the bird will land on you. It's like your idle animation, basically.
All right.
What do you think about the combat? This is
this is
arguably the biggest change, and it's one I like that they changed it. I just don't know that I like what they changed it to.
Yeah, I think it's okay. Basically, I think it's all right.
I feel less like a badass assassin now.
Yeah,
I can't really easily parry attacks and stab people in the face and stuff. I feel more like I'm hacking and slashing and being a bit crap at it as well.
Just sort of flailing around and I mean, it's a bit more chaotic in general, which is sort of okay.
It's a lot harder to take on multiple people at the same time, which is probably for the best.
Yeah, yeah, you can't just stand there waiting for them to come at you one at a time while you do your canned animation move that murders each one of them in sequence. I mean, I do like that it has... I like being able to draw other factions, if you like, into the combat. I've had a few fights where some other random soldiers have turned up and then, oh shit, suddenly there's a crocodile involved as well.
Like a hippo or something. Crocodiles are assholes.
Yeah, the wildlife is good. This is
one of two games we're going to be talking about this week in which crocodiles are assholes. By the way, I think it might be alligators in the other one, but I can barely tell the difference. So,
would that be in New Orleans by any chance?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And also earlier than that, but yes.
Yeah, I think the combat's. Yeah, I think it's okay. It's arguably
I feel a better combat system. It's just that it's worse for the atmosphere because I feel more like a flailing idiot than a super precise murder machine.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of the time just kind of hiding behind a shield and dodging a bit. I know you can parry, but I haven't done that very much because it's a bit finicky. I know. I think some of the moves you kind of have to parry for the boss types, but you can also just dodge out of the way if you want. So it's not really a big deal.
It's one of those things where I like it. Like, it's okay. I like it. It's just that it has changed the feel in a very significant way, and I don't know whether I like that. Like, it is arguably almost objectively better than the Batman combat. There is more to do in this combat. There is a higher skill ceiling, and it is more interesting as a combat system.
I mean, again, imagine if they changed, you know, imagine Rocksteady they probably won't do another Batman game, but they do another superhero game and they change it to this kind of combat. It's going to look shit because, you know, Green Lantern's just going to be getting his ass kicked and flailing around the whole time. That's the kind of atmosphere aspect of it. I keep trying to think what game it's best to compare it to. I mean, it has a bit of a Witcher 3 feel to it.
Yeah,
I think.
it's a little bit. I don't know. It's kind of, I would almost just say generic third person hack and slash.
You've got like a block, you've got a parry, you've got a dodge. That's about it, really.
Yeah, I mean, you can almost say, you can almost kind of point at something like the game that everything gets compared to, which is Dark Souls.
I mean, it's
I mean, it's a lot less deliberate
and, yeah.
Yeah. I just mean it's Dark Souls is a third person hack and slash combat thingy, and that's what this is. It's just, this is faster paced and
a lot
less
looser,
punishing
yeah.
and so
yeah,
on.
Yeah. I quite like the, I quite like how stealth works in this. It's difficult for me to put my finger on exactly why it's better than it has been in quite a few of the other Assassin's Creeds, but it seems to genuinely be better. I've actually enjoyed going through some of the like guard barracks, and I feel like I actually can semi-successfully sneak around, and the tools it gives me mostly support the structure that it's got, which I haven't always felt in Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed games with stealth tend to... Stealth is a thing that's there sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's not really the focus. But no, with this does actually appear to function as a stealth game.
Yeah, I feel like nice. I feel like I can scale up the walls of the place I'm going to and kind of sneak around on the roof and drop down onto someone and then whistle for someone when I'm in a bush and kill them. And then, my favorite move at the moment is poisoning the corpse.
Do you spend a lot of time, Peter, hanging out in bushes whistling?
Whistling. I'll refer you to the public statement that I've made on my Facebook page, refuting all of those allegations. Well, the thing I'm going to say now is not going to sound any better, but I really like poisoning the corpses.
I haven't unlocked that yet.
It's a fun move.
I've unlocked barely any of the tools. I've been focusing a bit more on the archery and the face stabbing.
Well, yeah, you've got telekinesis arrows, so
yes.
You know.
That's
fair enough.
Those are greatly comedic. But yeah, I mean, like, I needed those, and I needed the thing that lets you attack enemies with heavy shields, the charged up attack that can break
through. I think I have that.
I did unlock one tool, but I can't remember which one it was. It might have been a sleeping dart or something vaguely boring.
You can also throw fireballs at people, basically. Well, that's one of the other ones. And set them on fire.
Okay.
So,
you can be a rogue or a warrior or a mage then.
Pretty much, yeah. I've also got the thing that lets me harass people with a bird, which is quite good.
haven't unlocked that yet. Not sure. It's like there are lots of interesting things on the skill tree. I just try to pick things that I think, yeah, I'm actually probably going to use this.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. It is one of those games where I do have all these tools, but ultimately just having a fight with people is probably more effective in the long run.
Once you unlock the ability to harass people with your bird, doesn't your bird also come down to help you in fights by automatically harassing people?
Or she does. Is Senu male? Is okay.
I think
I haven't been clear.
Now that you've said that, I think Senu is female. But
all right,
yes,
we'll go with that. That's fine.
I can't remember.
I'm a fan of Bayek's wife as well. Actually,
Bayek's wife is badass.
I'm a fan of the fact that they celebrate every assassination by just having sex, which is like probably the correct thing to do. But yeah, they seem to have a pretty reasonable relationship going on.
Have you done? This is possibly mildly spoilery.
I think I know what you're going to ask.
You've played as a character other than Bayek and the girl in the future.
I haven't, but I played the second future bit, which heavily implied that I would be doing the thing. So not yet, but I see it in my future.
Okay, that's interesting. that section.
Yeah? Okay. All right.
Because it contains something I wasn't expecting in this particular Assassin's Creed game.
Okay.
I'm being cagey and dodging around things. This, for all I know, this may well be something that was heavily trailered or what have you, but I pay no attention to trailers,
I don't think it was. At least I never picked up on this being a thing that you would play as someone not by. I mean, I think they even kept the future stuff under wraps. So,
well, nobody gives a shit about the future stuff anymore. But,
some people do. I don't know why, but some people do.
No, I mean, it's more specifically, it's what you are doing in the section.
Okay. Does it turn into a flight sim?
Yes.
Okay.
No, it's a naval combat section.
Which
I wasn't expecting.
Well, there's not much water on the map, really.
There's the Nile,
obviously.
There is, like, at the very north end, and I think the east as well of the map, there is the sea, and it's listed as not having a level.
Right.
But I wasn't really expecting that. I don't know if they showed that off at all or anything, but yeah.
I don't recall them doing that, but okay, cool. I mean, this is the team that did Black Flag, so I guess it's not too surprising that they chucked in a bit of naval warfare. And, you know, the Romans are involved and the Egyptians in this particular Ptolemaic time period that we're in. I kind of like,
And Greeks as well, all over the place too.
Yeah, well, I think that's because the Ptolemaic dynasty are Greek, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
I like the aspect, actually, the fact that you've got this kind of culture clash between the old Egyptian style and the new kind of wave of Greek stuff coming in, and obviously a bit of Roman stuff as well, not to mention all of that stuff you'd expect, like the Sphinx and the pyramids and stuff. I haven't really seen a pyramid yet, but other than in the distance.
I've climbed up pyramids.
Have you done the thing that they showed in all the trailers where you slide down the side?
Yes, I have.
Was it good?
It was okay. It certainly looked less flashy and ridiculous than it does in the trailers. It was a bit more like a controlled fall than anything else.
Okay.
It was climbing the pyramids is an interesting experience. Actually, it's one of those. It's one of the times when climbing in Assassin's Creed is more like a puzzle than anything else, because there's only certain bits you can hang on to, but if you don't successfully grab onto one of those, you don't immediately fall to your death or anything. You sort of start doing a controlled slide down it, and you have to try and grab onto something else. You're kind of scrabbling it up, trying to find purchase on them.
That sounds quite good.
It's not bad. And yes, I've also seen the Sphinx.
Excellent. How much do you want to bet that we're going to knock the nose off that Sphinx at some point? Don't spoil it if you've already done that.
No, I haven't done that. It's possible.
That's 100% nailed on certainty.
There is some stuff to do with the Sphinx, so I think I'll be going back there at some point. So it's possible.
Mm.
We'll see.
I've been liking most of the side quests. I feel like some of the voice acting's a bit flat for some of those. Like, Bayek's good, but some of the NPCs are a bit... you're not really selling me on this quest, mate, is how I feel about it.
Yeah. I feel like the side quests are also a little bit samey. They're just kind of a thing that I do to level up when I'm...
Pretty much same level. For me.
They're not really interesting or exciting in and of themselves.
Some of them have been okay, depending on whether they've sold me on the voice acting and stuff. I kind of like the one where I was acting as a chaperone to a rich lady and had to like take her around the town in Alexandria. That was okay.
I haven't done that one.
That kind of reminded me of Witcher 3, when you're teaching fencing to the lady who is also, I think, daughter of nobility or something.
Ciri? Or...
No. It's someone in.
Yes, I know the one
in the main town whose name I've forgotten now because it's been so long since I've played The Witcher 3, even though I haven't finished it and I do really want to.
And so, yeah. As far as I'm aware, you are shortly before one of my favourite bits in the entire game.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
In yeah, The Witcher 3, that is.
Yeah. I honestly can't even really remember where I am in The Witcher 3. I went to Skellige. Yeah, I was doing Skellige stuff. That's right. Yeah, that's what I was doing.
I think you'd finished like the main quest in the No Man's Land area and the main city.
Yes.
And Skellige was the only sort of main quest area you left. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
After you get done with the main quest, there is a really good bit, or rather, I should say that portion of the main quest that doesn't end the game. Believe me.
No, I'm well aware that I have a billion hours. I've got one of the DLCs as well, which is like another 30 hours or something, probably. So,
DLCs are really good. I need to play the other Witcher 3 DLC, actually, the second one, Blood and Wine, or whatever it's called.
Right, yeah. I don't even have that one, but that's fine. I've got plenty to be going on with. But Assassin's Creed Origins, Assassin's Creed Egypt, pretty good.
Yeah.
You know? I like the setting a lot. I like the character a lot. I like, I don't know, 70% of the changes that they've made to the game. So
by and large, I like the mechanics. There are a few things we haven't touched on, like the night and day cycle and the way that it affects patrols and the way you assault places, which I quite like. I quite like waiting for nightfall and then sneaking into a place and murdering people while they're asleep and. So.
Yes, I've definitely used that to my advantage a few times. I guess that's a little bit Metal Gear Solid 5-y.
A little bit.
I mean, you know, not. Yeah.
Although, unfortunately, you can't use your hawk to abduct all the animals and people you see and take them back to your base.
Wow. Ubisoft DLC idea for you there. I know you've already done you
the Fulton hawk.
Yeah. Yes. I'd love a crocodile in my collection or a lion. I did have an enjoyable moment where I found some lions in cages on a boat, and I just let all the lions out and left.
Yeah, I've done that. What you need to be able to do is not only have your hawk like abduct the lion, but then you can have it drop it back in the middle of a fight or something.
Absolutely.
I did see actually you can one of the things you can learn one of the skills is the ability to tame animals, isn't it?
I want that after you
put them to sleep with a sleeping dart or something, and then you can tame them while when they're that's amazing. So you can have a lion following you around.
I'm worried that's going to be disappointing because it sounds too good, but I'm going to get it because
the animals don't seem to be particularly amazing, but
I don't know. Hippos are pretty great. Hippos are pretty terrifying, as in real life.
One thing I do want to say quickly actually is I think I broke one of the big side quest chains.
Oh really? Which can you say which one? Probably.
Yeah. There's like a ritual murder cult or something like that. And I think you're supposed to investigate like these four or five different sites where these ritual murders are happening. And you do kind of the investigation bit where you look around for evidence and signs of what's been going on and so on. And I did the first one and I didn't have like a waypoint to the second one or anything. There may have been, I don't know whether I was supposed to pick up on it later or whether there was a clue that was supposed to point me towards it. But in any case, the next one I found was actually the final one.
All right. Well, congrats. You're a really good detective.
Yeah, basically, since then I have stumbled across one more of them and the game doesn't quite seem to have caught on to this. It's still like, I need to look around for clues as to what this cult is and where they're operating. Yeah, we know this. We've killed them all.
It's normally all right at that, actually. Like, when I've done an area that then turns out to have a quest associated, it does remember pretty well, like, you've already killed everyone here, so well done. Mission accomplished. But, yeah, you know, open world stuff.
Yeah.
It's going to happen, isn't it?
It's not.
It's a shame, but you know.
Excuse me. It's not a huge surprise. It's not something that hugely bothers me either. It probably would have been more problematic had I stumbled across the evil cult lair and there was just nobody and nothing in there until I'd done all of the other missions.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely prefer it that way, that you can interrupt quests by accident.
So I'm okay with that.
They might have fixed that. The new patch has a list of, like, here are some quest things we mended. So I haven't looked through it because I don't want to learn things, but
Assassin's Creed, I need to go back to that at some point. That is on my list of things to continue playing. I'm enjoying it, so I want to play more of it.
Yep. Should we also mention the fact that it looks really nice, this game, but it sure as hell likes consuming all of my processor power.
Yes.
Just 24/7. Looking left or right, it's processor 100% all of a sudden.
My computer can arm wrestle Thor. My computer can lift Mjolnir, and my computer struggles with this game.
Yeah,
it is all down to the processor consumption as well.
Yeah, I've just locked it at 30, where it seems happy enough, and I'm putting up with it at that, which is okay. I'm not too bothered by that. It's better than it going from 20 to 50 every time I move. So.
Yeah, I mean, I've got it. I think I've left it at sort of a free frame rate, and most of the time it's around high 50s, low 60s. It will occasionally drop down further. There have been one or two areas where I've thought maybe I should lower the details a bit.
But I mean, lowering the details
doesn't make a big difference.
No, it doesn't. I mean, that's insane for the PC you have. Like, there's no way you should be dipping under 60 FPS ever.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, that's the thing as well, is that this seems to happen regardless of what I have the graphical settings set to. I think it's just the engine.
I think everything they did, I think, was with 30 FPS in mind. And then if you had enough brute power, you could run it maybe at 60 if you're lucky. That seems to be the case.
Do you know if the consoles are 30 FPS locked?
Yes. Okay. And there's like 20 billion different strands of consoles now. But
you've got the PS4 Pro and so on.
And it definitely doesn't hold 30 on the basic Xbox One and PS4. The Pro and the X are a little different because they're trying to run at 4K, except sort of not really, because it's the 4K that dynamically changes resolution all the time. So those two do hold 30, I think, but they're not necessarily running at 4K the whole time. But yeah, I have I've heard that the PC version is something to do with, because they've had to use DirectX 11 rather than 12, and some of the stuff they've done with that is a bit ropey, so it eats up a lot of processor cycles, which I believe more than the DRM is using up all of your processor power, which sounded like bullshit.
I would tend to agree with you on this. It's, yeah.
I don't doubt that the DRM's using a bit of processing power, because, you know, it is a program that is running on your PC, but...
I'm fairly certain it is not maxing 8 cores out to, like, or 4 cores out to 100%, and the other 3 to, like, 60 to 80, though.
I'm fairly sure it's not doing that either. But, yeah, so that's kind of a shame that it doesn't run amazingly well, but...
It doesn't, for me at least, it doesn't run terribly, but then it also doesn't run nearly as well as I was expected to.
I was half expecting to lock mine at 30 no matter what, just because it's a new game and my graphics card's a bit on the old side now. So
I mean, it's not a game where I'm desperate to have a constant 60. It's you know, much as we talked about how it's not slow and deliberate and so on, it is still it's not the fastest Twitch game on the planet or anything like that.
It's running at
between 50 to 60, occasionally dropping a bit, that's fine.
yeah Anyway, all right, let's move on from Assassin's Creed Origins, I think.
Okay, so if we move on, if we're moving on chronologically...
Through history, yeah.
Then I think our next stop would be feudal Japan, I think.
Sure, yes. Yeah.
The 1600s, when, yeah.
Yeah, we've gone from, like, what, AD 80 or something?
Yeah.
to the 1600s, well, all right. Yeah.
Scoot forward 1600 years.
Speaking of things there. Speaking of things that are a bit ropey on PC.
Yeah. Neo Complete Edition. Which is indeed a bit ropey on PC. It's one of those things. It's one of those things where it is, like, it's arguably fine. Kind of. It's just that it is very clear that you are playing a very rough port.
Mm.
Like, playing with a controller, it's at 60 frames a second, and yeah, okay.
You need a controller, not just to control it, just to have it plugged in.
Yeah, that's weird.
They have released a couple of patches since, so they may have fixed whatever that was. But...
Yes, there have been a fair few patches since.
I mean,
it still does not appear to have any support for the mouse, which disturbs me.
It's the way I feel about Dynasty Warriors games. It's like, yeah, guy, this isn't a great port, but look, man, you're going to be playing Dynasty Warriors on a gamepad. Just deal with it.
I feel like this could actually work all right on mouse and keyboard.
Yeah. I mean, most games can if you put in the effort. It's just that I'm going to...
Well, I mean, like, I don't know. For whatever reason, I feel like it's not even a Dark Souls-y thing. It's the sort of game which I feel, yeah, I could control this. Like, I can control Assassin's Creed just fine on mouse and keyboard. It's like, yeah, it's not too convoluted or complex in terms of controls that this wouldn't work. I think about the only... There is one thing which might be of mild annoyance, which is one of the big changes this makes from the more standard template, because one of the things you will hear people say about this is, oh, it's a bit like Dark Souls, which is very true. This is pretty much Team Ninja going, we can do Dark Souls too.
Look, here it is.
It's probably closer to Bloodborne, to be honest, considering it's much faster paced. But it's got some really unique twists and mechanics of its own. Two of which I think they're mentioning. One of them is the key pulse, which is you have your stamina, except it's referred to as key in this.
Sure.
But at the end of an attack chain, whatever, there is a moment where if you press a button, you will regain part of the stamina that you used up, which will then let you immediately switch to the defensive or continue on with your combos or whatever.
Yeah.
Also, enemy stamina or ki is visible, which is really nice. That is something that I really wish Dark Souls did.
Yeah, but if they did that, it would give away the fact that some of the enemies clearly have infinite stamina.
Yes.
So... they can't do that. No, that is really nice. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, everything in this has stamina, and you can exploit this, and that is usually a very good thing to do against bosses. It won't necessarily knock them into a critical state where you can do a massive, what would be a visceral move in Bloodborne. I can't think of the Dark Souls equivalent, kind of the backstab, finishy moves and things.
Yeah, yeah. Parry and riposte, I think.
Yeah. You can't necessarily do that to bosses, but it will often weaken them. It will mean that they are now actually being staggered by your hits for a little while. The problem is when they regain their stamina, they will usually do so with something very, very dangerous.
Right. But
the other thing that is interesting about this is the stance system.
This is the thing I've heard about. I hadn't heard about the stamina stuff, but yeah, the stances sounds intriguing.
Yes, with every weapon you have three stances. You have high and mid and low. And they are all good at different things, and they all have their own unique combos. High stance is your offensive stance with lots of big attacks that's hits really, really hard. And you do have both light and strong attacks with every stance as well. Mid stance is kind of your default stance. That's really good at blocking. Mm-hmm. And then low stance is kind of evasion. That's lots of light and fast attacks. And okay. You consume a lot less ki when you're doing dodges. And the key to success is usually mixing these up, depending on what you're fighting and what the situation is. Enemies with a lot of very fast attacks might be better to go mid-stance so that you can block those attacks and then counter-attack. Or if it's an enemy that does lots of huge, lumbering, big attacks, then stick into low stance for a bit to dodge out of the way, and then after one of their attacks, switch into high and do a few hits and back to low and back off again. It takes time to get used to. A lot of time to get used to, especially if you're familiar with these games.
Yeah, it's like every weapon has three completely different movesets, it sounds like.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
There's a good choice of weapons as well. You've kind of got your swords, sort of the traditional katanas and whatnot.
Of course.
You've got dual swords. You've got Kusari Gama, which is kind of the sickle on the end of a weighted chain.
Oh, yeah.
You've got spears and axes and tonfa, which are really good in this. I really like the tonfa in this, because normally when you see tonfa in movies or like police batons, they're like really, really, really lightweight things. In this, they are like huge fuck off pieces of solid oak or something like that.
Oh, right.
They connect with bone cracking efficiency. There's quite a lot of weapons to choose from. Which is also one of the things, you know how we were talking about how Assassin's Creed doesn't do the whole Diablo loot system thing? Neo yes. does.
Right, okay.
And this gets on my tits.
That's going to be really... Yeah, well, my first thought with that is, like, how am I ever going to decide which weapon I'm going to stick to and upgrade? And because presumably you can upgrade these, or can you? Or does that not happen?
You can, albeit the system to do so is really complicated and is the sort of thing I think I'll probably be paying more attention to in a new game plus.
Excellent.
There's a soul match system is what it's called, and you can basically merge together two pieces of gear.
That sounds like a dating sim.
Yeah, it really does.
For weapons.
Like if you have a low level weapon which you really, really like, and then you've got another weapon which is really high level but a bit crap, you can basically meld them together so your old level
right.
inherits the level of the higher one and
okay.
gets well, more sounds, damage and so on. And
that sounds all right.
You've got a familiarity system with them as well, where the more you use a weapon, you get slightly more efficient with it. And when you've maxed out the familiarity with a weapon, if you do a soul match, you can kind of inherit its traits across. So if it has, for instance, oh, you regain some health whenever you gain Amrita, which is this game's equivalent of souls. Or, you know, you do more damage the more enemies you've killed between sort of dying or saving a shrine or what have you. You can inherit those across into a new weapon, which is neat. It's quite a customizable system and is ludicrously expensive as well if you're trying to do it with high quality weapons. It's complicated. But
there is not necessarily a bad thing.
No, there is certainly a degree of depth in there. But for the time being, I'm mostly just going, okay, out of all of these weapons, which ones have the big attack numbers or have a set bonus? Okay, I'll keep those, and the rest of them I'm either selling or disassembling into components that I can have the blacksmith make into other weapons for me later.
Mm.
It works on a level system, and by that I mean it's not a big open world. I mean it is individual maps and levels. But despite this, most of them do feel quite, again, Dark Souls-y. You open up shortcuts, you've got lots of different paths to take. It's the level design is generally good, with exceptions. I would like to add to the list of, you know how there's the list of levels that are never good in games? Like, you've got sewer levels, railways, warehouses.
Yeah, yeah.
Water temples.
they've got a history. Yeah.
I mean, Ocarina of Time infamously has a terrible water temple.
Yeah. That's the one, well, it's the only one I know, really. But.
Yeah, Neo gets in on this as well. It's a really cool level. It's got some really great gimmicks and ideas to it. Basically, you can rush to the boss as soon, pretty much right at the start. But if you do that, you'll be at a massive disadvantage. What you want to do is go around the temple and light these fires that sort of keep demons away and so on and secure the temple a bit. And this makes the boss significantly easier if you light them. Right. And that's neat. It's a nice merging of sort of Japanese cultural whatnot with a level.
Yeah.
It's quite cool. It's decent design. What is slightly less cool is that they then decided to make this temple like partially submerged and full of really tiny beams that you have to very carefully walk across.
Right.
Yeah, it's a right pain in the ass.
Yeah, walking across narrow things in the Souls games is particularly unpleasant, so I imagine that might be the case here as well.
This game does not do this very often, but the Water Temple is one of the most aggravating areas for this.
Mm.
Like, there's bits where you're climbing around on the rooftops as well, and oh look, there's one of the big enemies that ideally you really want to dodge behind when he attacks, but you're on a narrow bit of roof and you can't do that, and if you try to dodge to the side, whoops, you've drowned instantly.
So do you feel this game does... is it more that it's doing Souls stuff pretty well, or is it doing its own thing well, or a little bit of both? What's the...
I'd say a little bit of both. It does definitely take cues from the Dark Souls series. This is a game where it's really easy to point at Dark Souls inspirations, and I don't believe this would exist if Dark Souls didn't.
Sure.
But on the other hand, it does also feel a bit like Ninja Gaiden, I guess, which was something that Team Ninja did previously.
Mm.
I'm fairly certain they did Ninja Gaiden. You know, it does have...
You would think, being called Team Ninja.
It does have enough of its own quirks and twists that it doesn't feel like a Dark Souls clone or an attempt at being Dark Souls. It definitely does its own thing. It's got enough going for it that it is its own game.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you want, right? You want games to look at successful series and go, why was that? Let's take some of these inspirations but go our own way with it.
And it's got a lot going for it. There's a lot of stuff I love about it. I love the cultural thing, that it's a lot of Japanese mythological enemies and folklore and stuff. And the fact that it merges, because the protagonist is a real historical figure. James Clavell's Shogun, the novel, was based on this person. William Kelly, I think his name was. Except that in real life he was English, not Irish.
He didn't go through water temples, fighting giant bosses.
Not as far as I know. he went to Japan and, met various high-ranking people and, there is, I believe, a statue of him in a few places around Japan. So he is a real figure. Right. And this is a nice mix of kind of history and sort of the more mythological, magical, supernatural side of things.
Yeah.
And I like that as a setting. It's also nice bumping into all these famed historical figures, like the ninja Hattori Hanzo, who has a cat as a clock. It is one of the oddest cutscenes ever. The first time you meet him, he kind of opens up his coat and takes a cat out and looks at his eyes and see how much they dilate to check what time it is, and then he puts the cat back in.
Wait, how is this a method of explain to me the logistics of
this?
How does the cat clock work, Tim?
I don't know. I was thinking it was one of those ones where the eyes go back and forth
while the tail ticks.
No. This clearly is a real living cat.
I'm now aware. This is what you mean.
It's something to do with, I don't know, the text in the game explains it. It's something to do with it. It's like the dilation of the cat's pupils to determine the light level and so on and so forth.
Well, they do change according to the light levels. Yes, that is. That's certainly true.
Yeah, it's very odd and wonderful. I'm a big fan of that. It's good. It's got a bunch of really good boss fights and interesting enemies, and also some truly sadistic moments, all of which are basically what you want from this sort of thing. It's also got a couple of other bits and pieces I find interesting. It's got a lot of sub-missions, presumably to make up for the fact that it's not an open world, some of which take place in brand new maps, some of which kind of like Hitman's contracts sort of put you back in a previous map, but it's changed a bit. There are different enemies around, bits are sectioned off. And it's also got so-called Twilight missions, where you essentially redo one of the story missions, only the difficulty is amped way up, and so are the rewards.
This has some kind of co-op system, right? How does that work? Is it also a bit Soulsy or less Soulsy?
I believe you use an item at a shrine, which are the bonfire equivalents, to summon another player into your world. And you can set up a password and so on and so forth, but I think that you can only do this, I think you can only summon a player in if they've already finished the level. You can't do pure co-op. At least that was, I know that was how it worked on console. I don't know whether they then patched that and changed it, but there was a big outrage about this because people wanted to go through the whole game co-op.
Fair enough.
Which I feel would detract from it quite a lot, but then I also feel that about Dark Souls, so what do I know?
That's true, but if people want to do that, then I guess they can. Or not, maybe in this case, if they haven't changed it. So I guess the co-op is more for like redoing bits of the game then, rather than pioneering off into new realms.
And there are bits, you know, you'll redo bits because you want to grind for certain bits of equipment or what have you. Like some of the submissions are things like duels against particular historical figures from the time period. They're like, hey, I've heard you're really good with that sword. Let's have a fight. Find out. And those are really, really good. There are some really excellent bosses in there. Both in terms of kind of humanoid enemies and giant monsters that can one hit kill you. There is a lot I really like about this game. I just wish that the port was not a Koei Tecmo Koei port.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, it doesn't sound like a total disaster. I guess it's you ain't playing it on mouse and keyboard is the main thing.
It is the main thing, and you need a gamepad plugged in or the game will stutter constantly. They may have fixed that.
Which is just bizarre, but sure, yeah.
But I mean, I guess
there aren't millions of options either, really, but there were
a lot of other technical issues as well. Like, you would run the game and it wouldn't save your settings, and it didn't work quite right in certain, with certain settings enabled and stuff like that. And it was not a good port. It may be better now. Like, now that I've got it sorted so that it runs at 60 frames a second and I'm playing it with controller, I've pumped quite a lot of hours into it.
Didn't you also say that like the quit dialogue was in Japanese still as well?
if you press Alt F4, yes, I think you're not meant to press Alt F4.
That's just a little bit of bonus Japanese for you to make you feel more at home in the setting.
it's good. I'm enjoying the tremendously silly plot and the cutscenes and rubbing shoulders with famous historical Japanese figures and. I like it a lot. It's a good game. And on PC as well, you get both of the DLC packs for free. Both? I think there's three, actually.
You get everything that's been released for it. Yeah, basically, whatever that is.
Which is, I believe, loads of new missions. I think each one is like 3 or 4 new missions with new bosses and guardian spirits and stuff like that. And different aspects of the tale, I think, focusing more on the civil war that was going on in Japan rather than Kelly's quest to murder a wizard.
Yeah, fine.
The plot is silly. I do like it. It starts
I'm
off...
I'm fine with the end goal being to murder a wizard. So that seems completely... I know, I play plenty of Warhammer. It's fine.
Well, I firmly believe that the start of the game is a direct nod to Dark Souls 1. Because Dark Souls 1, you start in a prison, and Neo, you start locked up in a cell in the Tower of London.
Oh, right. I've seen bits of that level. It's raining and it's all very dark blue. And then you fight a big beef eater guy at the end, right? Or something.
You fight quite a lot of beef eater guys throughout. At the end you fight an executioner who's been who's had some magic done on him
by a wizard.
By a wizard who is the villain, who is also a real historical figure, but probably did not look like a goth with red eyes and wearing a cape of feathers.
Well, as far as we know. Yeah. I mean, we don't have many primary sources from the further back you go. Who knows what happens, really?
Yeah. But yeah, it's there is a lot I like about the game. Like, it is really, really good. I would totally recommend it to fans of the Dark Souls, and it's probably the closest thing to Bloodborne that we're ever going to get on PC.
Would you say it is the most promising, best of the sort of the post Souls creations, you know, Souls inspired creations? I mean, there isn't much else. We got the Surge and the other one that those guys did,
Lords of Fallen or whatever it was. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. I vastly prefer this to both of those games. This feels a lot faster and slicker. Like I say, it feels more like Bloodborne than Dark Souls, but Dark Souls is one that everyone is familiar with because it's actually been released on platforms other than the PS4.
Sure. What are people? Soulsborne games is what people call them sometimes.
Bloodborne tends to be. Bloodborne was faster paced with a kind of more of a focus on. This does actually have blocking, though, unlike Bloodborne, which mocked you for even attempting it.
There was a shield in the game, but it took the piss out of you.
Yes. Pretty much.
Actually, no, that is useful. That's useful for one. The one part where the where that massive eyeball is looking at you and massively increasing your insanity stat. If you use the shield there, you can like hide behind it and the thing can't look at you.
So really?
It's incredibly useful for that small section. Or you can just run. But
yeah, I've got to say that section did not strike me as difficult anyway. So
not as soon as you get the impression that I should just be running. No.
If the eyeball's giant shining headlamp is looking at a place, I should not be standing in that place is basically all you need to know about that.
Pretty much.
God, that area was a fuck. That I had to do that area offline because online that was just Invasion Central.
Yeah. Also, that's the bit where the massive spider and the other large spiders appear as well. So,
Neo has spiders.
Oh, that's well. How do you feel about that?
Not happy, Peter. Not happy at all. They are quite unpleasant spiders. They are fortunately also not very difficult to kill, and it does also have a boss, which is a giant spider lady. But that is, as with basically every boss in this game, that is a Japanese mythological thing, so I can kind of give that a pass.
Sure.
And she is also really, really easy.
That helps.
But yeah, it does have, like spiders, they like to hide on the ceilings and around corners and leap out at you when you're not expecting. One of the things I did to counteract this, and I will say that the game is at least forgiving and lets you know when they're coming, because the first level they appear in is literally called Spider Nest Castle. There is, you get a lot of, you do have like a mini map in the corner, but it doesn't show a map of the area.
It doesn't show spiders. It's a mini map just for spiders.
If you have a piece of equipment or a set bonus or a guardian spirit with the sense enemies ability, then enemies will actually be highlighted in red.
Right.
On that. And so you can go, there's an enemy around this corner. I will just peek around the corner with, oh, there's a spider on the ceiling. you're not getting me. Normally I don't have that on, but in levels where spiders are prominent, I absolutely fucking do because it minimizes risk of heart attack.
Good plan.
There are lots of little bits and pieces like that with the set bonuses other than enemy detection. There's like treasure detection and the ability to find the code ammo, which are the little things which in each region they give you little buffs. They're like hidden bonus things. They give you a buff to choose from at your bonfire. And also increase the number of healing items you will get when you go back to a bonfire and so on.
Okay.
And you've got ninja abilities and magic, and yeah, it's good. I like it.
Shall we travel further forward through time now to our third and possibly final game discussion on this podcast?
Another 400 years on, roughly, yep. On 350.
We're in an alternative timeline, so it's a little tricky, but then so was Neo, and so was Assassin's Creed Origins.
Okay, we've got to move a few hundred years forward, and then lose World War II, and then jump forward a bit longer.
Yeah, pretty much. For Wolfenstein,
Wolfenstein. Well, yeah, Wolfenstein 8, Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus.
Yes, true.
I don't actually know whether it is the eighth one. I could count, but I might do.
There's been a lot.
Do you count Spear of Destiny as...
They've remained remarkably consistent in that you are a man named BJ Blazkowicz and you don't like Nazis very much. And
no.
That's pretty much the size of it.
Yeah.
I haven't played a whole lot of this, but I have played a bit.
I think you are still... How far in are you?
I mean, I'm probably still in the prologue type area because, I mean, it's only just taught me about, like, there are commanders. You should kill commanders because they summon reinforcements and stuff. So, I've seen a cutscene. It was quite a bad cutscene. Well, I don't mean as in poor quality. I mean, it was an alarmingly horrible cutscene.
Did this cutscene involve a decapitation?
It did, yes. Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, okay.
Yeah. I see. This game's cutscenes are really good. And by that, I mean they are really bad.
This game's serious business.
Yeah,
I already wanted to kill Nazis, but now I really want to kill Nazis.
You want to kill that specific Nazi quite a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
That said, even things like the intro cutscene are pretty rough.
It's like, it's time to shoot your dog now.
Yeah.
I don't really want to, though, thanks. I don't really want to do that.
Did you shoot the dog?
I did not shoot my dog, no.
Okay.
At least I don't think so. I aimed as far away as possible after leaving the game for a while and realizing that I wasn't going to just get away with not doing something. Yeah,
you can aim at the dog or you can aim away from the dog.
I imagine that would still be pretty... I mean, the dog gets shot no matter what because your dad's a dick. But I imagine that wouldn't be good for the dog anyway, having a shotgun blast going very, very near it. But
probably not, no. But
still.
It's quite a bleak game, but it's also quite a funny game in other areas. And
yes.
It toes the line really well. Its writing is really on point for the most part.
Like the
and its
first,
characters.
The first, I think, sort of in-game cutscene, I'd met a guy who I probably would have known from the first game had I played that. Who was like, BJ, watch out, I've set up all these traps around the place.
Oh, yeah.
sort of electricity. Yes, sure. And while he's explaining this, kind of like just in your peripheral vision, there is a continual stream of Nazis kind of running in and exploding. And then one of them kind of like tries to tiptoe carefully through. But it doesn't work.
No.
So yeah, it's got, and I'm like, okay, I'm enjoying the tone of this. This is good.
He is legitimately, he is probably my favorite character in the game. He seems the Jewish wizard.
Seems good.
He is
fantastic. I got a quick recap of the first game because you have to choose who survives.
Yes.
I have a vague idea what happened. But.
Who survived, Peter?
Sweary Scottish man, because he's a sweary Scottish man.
Yeah.
Figured that was good enough.
That is quite good.
Ideally I'd want both of them to live, but that wasn't an option. So.
It does. I did play through part of it with the other guy surviving as well, and you get access to a different weapon, and the cutscenes change quite massively as well.
Pretty good. That's pretty cool. Good excuse to play it on a harder difficulty later or something.
Indeed. Or at least, you know, play through it again.
Yeah.
There is a fair bit changing.
I'm just playing it on normal, but it's quite hard. It might just be because I haven't played a shooter in a long time. But.
And it is a proper shooter with like health pickups and stuff, no regenerating health.
And your health, you can get, I don't know if this, I presume this remains throughout the game, but might change. Because at the beginning you're in a wheelchair, which is also amazing.
That is a quite a cool section, yes.
Yes, because you reach some stairs and you're like, oh, fuck. it does this thing where you can go over, you have like 50 health, right, for the first level.
Yes.
You can go over that, but it isn't going to stick around. It'll just keep ticking down relatively rapidly. So even though you've got like 80 health for a little bit, it's going to disappear. And you have armor as well, of course, which is the
overcharge does remain, in that you can overcharge your health. There are various upgrades you can get.
I presume the base health goes up though at some point.
Spoilers. It might.
Well, it totally is going to. Anyway, yeah.
But the overcharging of health remains, but later on there are perks and upgrades and stuff you can get which affect that. Like, you can make it, I think if you kill enemies while it's overcharged, because the way the perks work is that you unlock stuff by doing certain actions, like killing enemies in stealth increases your movement speed in stealth.
So that's okay. I noticed it was tracking that sort of thing with little like, you've killed 10 enemies by shanking them. Good job.
Yes, and these give you little upgrades. Like killing enemies while your health is overcharged, I think decreases the speed with which your health ticks down while you're overcharged. And later on you can get an upgrade that I think is, if you're overcharged, it will only tick down once you take damage. So it will remain between fights.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a cool way of doing the upgrade system, and then it kind of rewards you for playing the way that you want to play. You're not picking stuff off a list with upgrade points. It's like, are you killing people with stealth? Well, then you're going to get various bonuses to doing stuff as stealthy. On the other hand, if you want to just run around shooting people with dual-wielded shotguns, which is something I would highly recommend.
I feel like that's not that effective early. I mean, maybe I just don't have the health and the guns for it right now, but early on, I'm having to be somewhat cautious. You can't really just run into a room and go like, what's up, Nazis? Gonna kill you all, because chances are someone's gonna pop up behind you and you can only take like two shots before you die, and then you die.
It is quite a tricky game.
I'm fine with it, but
there is mitigation for this, but yeah, I feel like it's the sort of game, like a firefight, I have had no success in attempting to do pure stealth. That feels really difficult. But on the other hand, it feels more like the sort of game where you do a bit of stealth and try to take out one of the commanders, maybe both of them if there's two in an area or whatever. Take out some enemies, and then when all hell breaks loose, you know, you'll hopefully have a bit of an advantage.
Well,
things might get a bit simpler when you access dual-wielding shotguns, though. Dual wielding shotguns are, they are the key to everything.
I am dual wielding something, but yeah, they're not shotguns right now. So
I mean, the weapon upgrades themselves are quite interesting as well. Like you find, again, you probably, I don't know whether you've gotten far enough to do this. Have you got throwing axes yet amongst them?
No, I don't. I don't have throwing axes. No.
Okay. But yeah, you find weapon upgrade toolkits, and every weapon has like 3 upgrades tied to it, and so you pick which weapon and which upgrade you want. And, like, for the pistol, it's sort of bigger capacity. I think for the pistol, the 3 are bigger magazine capacity, so you reload less. A silencer. Mm-hmm. Which is obviously useful, and a magnum mode, which vastly upgrades the power of the pistol, but also makes it louder. And you can, okay. every weapon has something that you can toggle on and off. With the pistol, it's the magnum mode. With the assault rifle, it's a sniper scope, which turns the gun semi-automatic as well. With the shotgun, it basically fires 3 rounds at once.
Now we're talking.
Well, that's quite entertaining, but then again, when you're dual wielding fully automatic shotguns, you're firing quite a lot of rounds at any given time anyway.
I don't see a problem with this. Except when you run out.
Yeah. Yes. But yeah, it's just a really solid, well-made game. It's got really good writing and really good characters, and really bad characters as well. It skews on the side of caricature and stereotype, and then it kind of expands on this a lot and turns people into proper fleshed out characters. It manages to be quite horrible and quite humorous, and it's got really good shooting and stealth and stuff as well.
I'm liking what I've played so far a lot.
It manages to be totally ridiculous and yet also managed to be quite heartfelt at the same time. Which is it's very rare for games to maintain that balance.
Often if you're making those kind of tonal swerves, it's just jarring and you're like, all right, what are you trying to be here? What are you going for? Rather than, oh no, this works.
About the only other game I can think of that did this properly was Borderlands 2. And I suppose Borderlands as well, to some extent. But Borderlands 2 was very lighthearted and silly and funny.
Yeah.
If you're into that sort of humor, but it also manages some moments of deep sincerity, and, you know, has bits that are really, really sad. And it manages to balance the two really well. And I feel like Wolfenstein manages to do that as well. Which isn't a surprise if you've played the first game, because that did the same.
I do own it, but I haven't played it.
And it's got a Jewish wizard, and he's brilliant. he's not actually a wizard. It's just kind of the was Isaac Asimov, the whole thing where any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
Yes, I think so. I know that quote. I think that's probably Asimov. Yeah,
he's a member of an ancient Jewish organization that like invents incredible stuff, and sort of you keep finding artifacts from this Jewish conspiracy. Conspiracy is probably the wrong word.
So you're saying there is a global Jewish conspiracy?
That's honestly a slightly
concerning message.
This is something that they are probably nodding at several times in the game with a heavy nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Good, yes, there is one. But it's great, because look at all this cool shit they have.
Well, I mean, there's a bit, like, okay, again, mild, like, spoilers for a bit that takes place within about the first third of the game, but there is a bit where, like, Area 51 is mentioned, and he loses his shit, because that was one of their previous, that was, like, where they cached and stuffed a load of their... Okay. The stuff that they made. And there's all sorts of stuff, like, it's proper sci-fi stuff is the things that they invent. Like the suit that you wind up wearing when you get out of the wheelchair is...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's one of their inventions.
I figured, yes.
sort of anti-gravity technology and all this other stuff. All the sci-fi stuff is basically as a direct result of them.
This kind of wraps a little neatly back to Assassin's Creed with all like ancient aliens leaving technology for people.
It's not aliens, it's Jews.
Well, yes, fine. But they were doing it in the past, presumably.
Yes.
They've been technologically advancing at a rapid rate through earlier points in history then.
It's kind of like they invent all these things and then they hide them away because people really aren't ready to deal with this stuff.
Right.
But they're like Jewish super scientists, basically. But there's a really interesting or a point where it kind of mashes all of this together again to play with the tone is when you're reading one of the letters from one of the Nazi commanders who's like, yeah, I've been promoted. This is amazing. And then it's like a later diary entry. I've just learned that basically all of our super technology is based on the Jews, and yet we're always taught that these are lesser people. What? Have they been lying to us this whole time? Are we supposed? Should we thank the Jews for all this technology that's been helping us?
What? You mean fascism is ideologically incoherent? Surely not.
Well, it's interesting.
I can't believe it.
it's just interesting that in the little asides, yeah, they kind of deal with these mm-hmm. little aspects. There's yes. a lot of cool little things like that tucked away if you look for them.
It seems like a very good game that I will enjoy playing through at some point, maybe Christmas holidays.
I think the weirdest thing about it is that it's a game called Wolfenstein, and yet it's one of the better written games of the year.
Yeah. Well, good. Good on them. Yeah, not necessarily what you would have expected back when you were playing Wolfenstein 3D, which had a perfectly serviceable plot, but I wouldn't say it was particularly in-depth.
Well, even the ones after that, like Return to Castle Wolfenstein and so on, plot was never their strong point. Even when they tried to do plots with, was it Wolfenstein 2009?
That one.
This is actually a sequel to that. This is the same timeline as that.
Wow.
One.
Okay. Did Machine Games make the 2009 one, or
no?
Are they just no. Okay.
This is the first sequel that Machine Games have ever done.
Right, and supposedly there's going to be three, right? If they get a third game.
I mean, I know they were elated to be able to do this because they were like, yeah, we had all of these ideas and things that we wanted to do, but you know, you can only do so much in one game, and they did game which wraps up perfectly well, and you know, it wasn't but in the sequel here's the secret threat or anything like that. It was a game that wrapped up, but you know, there is still more you can obviously do with, by the way, the Nazis rule the world.
We haven't dealt with all of this yet, so
you know, Wolfenstein 2 is dealing with kind of attempts at liberating America primarily. And this means you get to shoot people from the Ku Klux Klan, and they get mocked quite a lot by the Nazis, which is also quite great.
And you're lower on the food chain than a Nazi. Things have really, really gone badly in life for you, if that's the case.
It's just a good game, and I like it. And I would like to see a third one. I haven't hit the point of saturation with this yet. It's a good shooter of a sort that I don't see enough of, with really good writing and lots of side bits. And it's just a really excellently executed single player shooty game. It's great. I like it.
Of which there aren't that many anymore, really. Like, it's pretty somewhat rare. I mean, they're often bolted onto a multiplayer thing.
Yeah.
You know, you get a single player campaign, and sometimes, like with Titanfall 2, presumably, as you said, that was really good.
Titanfall 2's campaign was fucking ace.
As like just single player, you don't tend to get that often.
No.
RIP Half-Life.
Don't get me started on Valve, please. People are ripping at EA at the moment, and everyone always hates Activision, but honestly, Valve are probably my least favourite of any of these companies.
They're
possibly because they don't even have the excuse of shareholders.
They are the unseen enemy. coasting by on goodwill for an awfully long time. So much so that we didn't notice the heel turn when it happened.
So there's a we've talked about three games this week that are actually good.
Yes. To varying degrees, and obviously personal taste comes into all of this, but in general, I mean, I haven't played Neo, but I'm pretty convinced I would enjoy it.
So, I am convinced you would enjoy it. I am of the opinion that it's not a great PC port, but if you manage to get it working properly on your PC, and they have patched it a few times now, and hopefully fixed a lot of the
I own a gamepad, issues. So
right, you're hopefully all right then.
chances are good that it might be okay.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully the patches have fixed a lot of the other things, like the config not saving and bits and pieces like that.
It feels like it should be a fairly straightforward fix, but you never know.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those games where it is not a very good port, which is a shame, but now that I've got it working, I'm just enjoying the hell out of it. And
it bodes well they've patched it a couple of times, because they don't tend to do that much. Koei Tecmo. I don't recall the Dynasty Warriors games getting many, if any, patches. Maybe
there have been quite a lot of patches, I think.
Right. So maybe this is a good sign that they're going to release bad ports, but then they'll mend them. Dynasty Warriors 9 next year. I'm excited.
There are two patches listed on Steam News things, but I'm fairly certain that the game has updated more than that.
They've maybe done some hot fixes where they haven't really said what they've done. Yeah,
and there's people complaining about optimization and so on, which I can't judge very easily.
It's probably true.
I mean, this was one of the games where on console it gave you the option of essentially making it look like shit but running at 60 frames a second, or look quite good but run at 30 frames a second. And it was offers that on PC as well.
Was it looking shit because of the textures, or did it just put it in a really low resolution, or both?
I honestly can't remember.
Okay.
I didn't play it very much on console because loads of other stuff was happening at the same time. I'm playing through it on PC instead because it was arguably cheaper for me to get it on PC with the DLC than it was to buy the DLC on console.
Plus, even a slightly bad PC port is probably going to be better than the PlayStation 4 version. So,
yeah, that's not to say the PlayStation 4 version is bad or anything. It's just, you know, I've got a beefy PC, so I'm not really hitting frame rate issues.
Yeah, all right. God, don't have to rub it in.
I kind of do. That's half the point of having a really beefy PC.
Oh, that's right. Never mind. Indeed.
Okay, I think that about wraps it up, I suppose.
Pretty much. There's other stuff I could have talked about. Same for you, I'm sure. But
that's a
pretty good spread of stuff we've done recently and played recently.
I feel like that's three of the bigger titles from the past month, or certainly two of the bigger titles, and one that is very big to a certain subset of people.
Yes. We should
obviously with that one I'm talking about Wolfenstein 2, and the subset of people is not Nazis, so
I'm sure even they could enjoy Wolfenstein 2 on some level. It's because we're coming up to the end of the year, I feel like eventually we will have to revisit. We did a predictions show at the very beginning of this year. I feel like we need to revisit that towards the end to see.
Sure. I don't remember.
To see what came true.
I don't remember any of these predictions, but
I wrote them all down. Yeah, I've got a list.
Okay, well, we will revisit that before the end of the year. And coming up on the end of the year, I suppose we'll also have our Ridiculous Awards, which I'm quite looking forward to.
Yeah. Ridiculous Awards plus some more standard ones.
Yeah, those are always a highlight for me. They're fun.
And, you know, don't forget that the Game Awards is also happening in December.
I'm not even watching that.
They've got so many more awards now. They're going to give so many away off camera. It's going to be ridiculous.
It's like, okay, while you were watching that trailer for the new BioWare thing, we gave out 5 awards. Well done, those guys.
Pretty much, yeah. 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 Also, Kojima presumably will be there, because he normally is. But, yeah. I'll be watching that.
I won't be.
I'm up for the Game Awards.
The last time I watched the Game Awards, I drank so heavily I nearly died.
I can't fault your technique for dealing with the Game Awards, but
well, I probably won't be doing that. I can't drink anymore, so I don't know what I do. Actually, I think I have watched it since then. It just made
that
me
makes
very
it sound
angry.
Like you can't drink anymore after the Game Awards. I think it's unrelated to that. But.
It might not be. Who knows? Maybe the Game Awards is actually entirely to blame for my current health issues.
I wouldn't put it past them.
All the stress and hatred just built up from that. No, I have watched the Game Awards since then, actually, but it was excruciating. The Game Awards is one of those things that just seems to get worse as it goes on. It's amazing.
They're not great, but you know, there'll be some game announcements, so I'll pay some attention to those.
I know, but that's the thing. Like, initially they at least like pretended that it was about the awards, whereas now they really don't.
I think Jeff Keighley still pretends that. I'm not sure anyone else involved is pretending that, but I think it's actually all just a massive mechanism for Jeff Keighley to be able to meet Kojima more often, personally.
Possibly.
But in which case, fair play.
I'd like
to meet Kojima as well. So
would I. I don't know if I would publicly humiliate myself and basically denigrate an entire industry to do so.
In order to do it, it's a bit of a devil's bargain.
I'm not that much of a dick, and I'm quite a dick.
Yeah. So
not that I'm saying Jeff Keighley is a dick. I'm just saying that if that is his primary reason for doing all of this shit, then he most definitely is.
Yeah. We don't know.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. If people said to me, "You can meet you have a choice. You can meet Kojima, or we can not have the Game Awards anymore," I would probably pick not having the Game Awards.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Agreed. They are basically suffering.
Anyway, our awards will be much more prestigious. Of course, you should pay lots of attention to those.
I can guarantee that our awards will be a lot more entertaining.
Yes. And you'll be able to vote on those at some point when we decide on the categories and the nominees and put that up, which will probably happen, I don't know, soonish, I presume. We'll see.
Yeah, well, there'll be reader awards and our personal picks and also our alternative awards, the usual. But that's that'll be in like a month. So
yeah, the voting for the standard ones will probably be. I'll probably try and start that a bit earlier than that. But yeah,
well,
the rest will be December thereabouts. Yeah,
We will probably have. I don't know, maybe another 2 or 3 podcasts by the end of the year. Who knows?
Yeah. Yes. It's a looser schedule than we used to have, but it's fine. It's okay.
Yeah. As long as you guys are okay with this. I think that having kind of one mega pod of 90 minutes is probably better than the weekly thing. Although, I mean, we try to do them weekly. It just kind of depends on what's going on.
Yeah, pretty much. It's Thanksgiving next week, so there probably won't be one, for example.
It's my birthday next week, so that's
happy
more
birthday,
important
Tim.
Than Thanksgiving. Thanks. It's the day before Thanksgiving this year, I think. Thanksgiving is what, the 23rd this year?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's not, I get older the day before that.
Alright.
So while you're giving thanks, give thanks to me, I guess.
Alright, I'll remember to do that. I'll definitely remember to do that. Right, yeah, good. Thank you for listening, everyone, to episode 86. We'll be back with episode 87 in the future. Goodbye.
Or maybe that will be the missing episode. Maybe we'll be back with episode 88.
Oh. Bye.
Bye.
silent under the dawn of that last great day.